It is such a joy this morning to have our mothers present with us and those that have come on this special day to worship with them. But those that have come today just because your mother's here, would you raise your hand? Let's make them welcome, would you? It is a wonderful time to be together and to worship. Is always a great time when you're able to worship with your mom and dad and as a family. And we do bid you welcome and pray that as we worship and as you have already been worshiping, that this time will be of spiritual renewal to you as we lift up Christ's name in praise. We have been on a journey these last few weeks. We are reminding ourselves in the church that Easter is not over, that Easter is not just one day. I was at home the other day when my cell phone rang, and it was one of my old military buddies, and he was very frustrated in his faith, and he was talking about communion and how that he wanted to be a part of a journey, a historical journey of faith, and he felt like he was missing that. And I shared with him what we were doing, that we have been taking communion every Sunday since Easter to reaffirm the themes that we have been reading through the scriptures. And today certainly one of those themes is love and of God's love to us. And he spoke and he said, how I wish that we would participate that in our church. And he was struggling. And when we hung up the phone, I wish that I could say that his resolve had been met, but it hadn't. And I encouraged him to continue to talk with his pastor. But we indeed are on a journey of faith, and we can think back over those Sundays when we had a meal together and was reminded that Christ had a meal with his disciples. We remember the Sunday of Thomas, when Thomas would not believe unless he touched the scars and unless he felt the spear-pierced side. And we remembered Thomas. We remember the disciples as they were frightened and gathered in that room. And today we hear again God's love and Christ calling us to be a family and to be those that show our love toward one another. As I think about that response that Christ read or gave to his disciples on that day, I think about our journey of faith and those that come in and out of these doors. And when individuals say, I came to Main Street United Methodist Church and no one greeted me, no one shook my hand, no one said, I'm glad you're here. And it makes me wonder, how much of a loving family are we? How committed are we to this love that Christ has called us to be a part of? When we think of a mother's love, we certainly can think of that for many of us as an example of God's love to us. I know for myself, I had a very godly mother. I think about those times when she went outside of her normal routines and she responded to me in love because I was her son, missing work and staying up late at night and preparing meals and doing those things maybe that some of us take for granted. And maybe for others of us, we never experience that kind of love. But when we think about God's love, that God was there always from the beginning, endeavoring to reach out to his children in love. The other day I was talking with one of my minister friends, and we were talking about the crucifixion and how we struggled with the way that Christ died at a kangaroo court, trumped up charges. And as I thought about the agony of a cross, he said, "I'm not so sure that it was God's ultimate plan for Christ to die in necessarily that exact manner. But one thing that I do believe, that as Christ hung there on the cross, God is saying, see, can't you see how much I love you?" And today we are being reminded of that love. Christ calls us. He calls us into that bond, that relationship that goes beyond the type of relationship that is known in the business world. In Jesus' time, there were many banquets. There were many times for connections to be made as people met during these banquet times. And certainly we are reminded, if we have read the scriptures at all, that there was a danger of being seated in a higher seat than you really should have been a part of, because you could be replaced and be embarrassed. And there was a certain type of dress that was expected of those who participated in the banquets, and you were to know your place and to be in submission to those in leadership over you. Christ speaks to us, and he says that he brings us now into this vine, as we talked about last week, that we are his friend, that we are a part of this family, that we are joined together. As I was reading in preparation for this sermon, I ran across a new industry that has been established and is doing very well monetarily. It's called Rent-A-Friend. Whenever you need someone to go to the mall with you, you just pick up the phone and then hire Rent-A-Friend. And they'll say, "No, it doesn't make you, it makes you look better. Whatever it is that you're putting on. You know how we do. Oh, it fits you perfectly." You know what we like to hear. Rent-A-Friend, whenever you want someone to go to the baseball game or the football game with you, or to watch a movie, or to sit around and read a book. As I think about Rent-A-Friend, this past week, this weekend in Joanna, somebody started a get together once a month, and we just show up at wherever is designated. And we meet our old friends and those that we grew up with, and we share and we laugh and we talk about bygone times. And there in that group was what was known then as my best friend. He was also with me in my marriage. I was at his side when his first child was stillborn, and their second child was stillborn. I've shared our friendship many times with my children, and I would say whenever Don and I quit running around together, I doubt if there was 15 cents between us. For we always looked out for each other. We always shared. We always split everything 50-50. I'm a better person today because of my friendship with Don. And I would like to think that Don's a better person for his friendship with me. We kept each other straight. Jesus speaks to us, and he says that we are no longer strangers, but we are friends. We are called to be his disciples. Into that relationship where we understand what God is wanting us to do and to be. He's wanting us to love one another. By this shall all people know that you are my disciples and that you love each other. Love. Love that calls us sometimes to sacrifice. I remember several years ago, I took my children to a place where I knew that the Congressional Medal of Honor winners were going to be assembling in Spartanburg. And I told my children, I said, you will not understand now what you are seeing, but I said, you will understand later on in life just exactly who these people are. And as we walked among those individuals from different times in our church history and talked with them about their commitment, and time again, they would say, I'm not a hero. I was just doing my job. But I remembered about a sister who went to the White House. And she received the National Medal of Honor from the President and General Schwarzkopf because her brother had fallen on a grenade, dying himself but saving his friends. It wasn't something that he planned to do. It was something in the moment that he did. But Jesus planned to give himself for us. It wasn't a spur of the moment decision. But he laid down his life. And this morning, as we come to this table, we come to this table as a family that loves. A family that receives Christ's love and in return gives that love to all who come into our path. I remember raising teenagers. Sometimes they weren't so easy to love. But as I think about them, they were easy to love, just their actions weren't so easy, I guess you'd say. But as I think about them and I think about ourselves as a church, is there sometimes that as a church that maybe we act like adolescents? Does Christ call us to a more mature love, giving of ourselves more sacrificially to what he is calling us to be a part of?